Welcoming to the program, Senator Drew McEwen. Good afternoon to you, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure.
You on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good afternoon.
So let's start with the good stuff. And by that, I'm saying it facetiously.
That's it. Next thing.
So the battle continues to be waged over lifting the property tax cap from 1% to 3%. And it shocked me to find out that actually here in Eastern Washington, one of the local governments in the Tri-Cities actually wants to see this happen, which blew my mind. Of course, Association of Washington Cities, they're also on board with this. Where are we in the process here? We know that Republicans were able to stifle it in the last session. What's the likelihood of it going through in this one?
I'm fearful that it's going to get to the Senate floor. The Democrat majority just seems hell bent. They feel that they were given a mandate in the election in our state to go down this route, and I disagree. Certainly they won. Just about everywhere in the state last November. But when you look at polling, it wasn't for taxes. It's, it has to do a lot with the national issues, and the east side of the state just does not want to associate with that brand of the Republican Party. It wasn't a referendum on taxes, in my opinion. But, so here's the frustration. And like you said, we were able to kill this last year by bringing public pressure to it the day of the vote, and they pulled it off the calendar and we didn't vote on it, thank goodness. But, for your listeners, right now, local units of government can raise property taxes 1% without having to go to the voters. They can exceed that, but they have to go to the voters and say, hey, do you guys want us to raise it at 2%, 5%, whatever the number is? And it has to have voter approval. What this bill does is it would allow your local council or school board to go to 3% without having to ask permission. They could exceed that, but if they exceed the 3%, they got to go to voters. So basically what it does, it allows local units of government to triple the property tax rate at the local level without having to ask for voter approval. And I have a hard time with this because, there's a number of things that go into this, and why has local government gotten more expensive? And we can certainly blame Olympia on a number of these things, the unfunded mandates that we put down, not only on cities and towns, but also on school districts. And that's a fair conversation to have. And I think Olympia needs to take a hard look at the things that it imposes on other units of government without providing the funding to do it. But on the other hand of this, and I've said this for the last year now, I don't care if you sit on the school board, your city council, or the county council, or you're serving in the state legislature or in the federal government for that matter, it should be damn hard to budget. You are a fiduciary of the taxpayers' dollars. It should not be an easy process to do. It should keep you up at night. You should have to work hard, sharpen the pencil, get out the spreadsheets, whiteboard the thing, and figure out how to make it work without always being the first knee-jerk reaction to, well, we got to raise taxes and fees. And that's the trend that we're seeing in this state. And what I continue to hear from my constituents time and again is, I can't afford this anymore. I've got people that are close to retirement that I've heard from that they're like, when I retire, I might not qualify for the senior exemption, and I'm not going to be able to afford my home just paying property taxes and the increase in insurance that we've seen due to the liberal policies that have come out of Olympia that have caused insurance rates to skyrocket in the state. And you put those two things together, and it's pricing people out. And at what cost? When is enough going to be enough? And we need to have some wholesale changes in this state to really right the ship on this. And it starts really with people reaching out to their elected officials and saying, no, we do not want the ability for local government to triple our property tax rate.
Senator, for our audience to understand, that's every year they could do that.
Yeah.
Without going to the voters. So it could be a 3% increase every year until they think that they have enough, but in all reality, find me a government that doesn't Yeah, exactly. They have enough money. They're always finding something. So
yep. And I don't know what happened in the Tri-Cities. I don't know if you had any school levies or local levies on the ballot this past Tuesday. But in my district, in the 35th, which is Mason, part of Kitsap and part of Thurston County, just in Mason County alone, which is similar to Eastern Washington in a lot of respects, some did pass, to be fair, but there was a number of them that were voted down. And again, it just goes back to it's an affordability issue for folks.
Mm-hmm. We had three of them fail here. The only one relatively close to the pass was in Adams County and Moses Lake.
Okay, yeah.
So Rich Finley and Kai B, Kyona Benton,
we're trailing.
They're still trailing. They're doing another count today. But yeah, but Finley shot them down. The last 3 years.
Yeah.
So it is. And in rural areas, it's incredibly difficult to turn around and have this, especially when you have a lot of people on a fixed income. You have a lower level of population.
Right.
It's a huge draw to ask from. And then again, too, you know, and look, we saw the data that came out today regarding the state of education in the state of Washington. And we're spending $18,000 a student, and we're 40th in the country.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or 17th in the country. It's horrible.
We've pumped more money into K-12 in the last 8 years, and for what? Our results have gone the exact opposite direction. And
but we also know it's salaries. Most of that money's going to salaries. So what's actually going to the kid? What of the $18,000 is going to the kid and not going to pay salaries or other ancillary things?
Exactly. And meanwhile, you know, you look at how I'm going to sound like my grandfather now. When I was a kid, and there was parent teacher conferences, they were at night because guess what? Parents work during the day. And I'm bringing this up as just an anecdotal example of how education system has changed. And today, most school districts, they go for a half a day for an entire week in order to do parent teacher conferences in the middle of the day. And that's a burden on parents as well. I mean, when are schools going to start to recognize and districts start to recognize that, you know what? You're placing a burden on families when you operate like that. And again, you ask for more money with your results going in the opposite direction. You continue to see parents and folks in the community just saying enough.
We're talking with Senator Drew McEwen from the 35th District here on The Bottom Line.
And, you know, some of the other things that are happening with it as well, you know, you'd mentioned about the possibility of them being able to raise the taxes year after year after year, not just the one, but the three. Have you heard from any real estate people, any developers, builders, property owners? I'm sure that you're hearing a lot, or there's a lot out there from them as to, especially people that own rental properties and things like that. You know, it's going to make the housing situation just exacerbated.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And people just got their tax assessment in the mail over the last week. And my office has gotten a number of those phone calls. Like, are you kidding me? On the increase. And you're right. I mean, look at where interest rates are right now, which is outside of our control here. But, you know, that's added to an affordability issue. And now you combine that with, again, those huge increases on insurance and now increases on property taxes. Oh, and by the way, we want to go ahead and allow the local units of government to triple it if need be. And it is having an impact. I do know a number of real estate folks in my district, and it's, you know, the time on the market has been increasing, not decreasing, for a home that's listed. And the buyer pool, I mean, the one thing that's holding up the real estate business in our state, especially on the east side, is the supply and demand issue. We don't have enough housing. So when something does come to market, you know, it is getting sold, but it's not going as quickly as it did. And you're not seeing the price appreciation that you used to either. And, you know, again, there's a number of factors that go into that. But bottom line is all these things do have an impact. They have an impact on the affordability. You have somebody that maybe, you know, saved enough money to buy a home that they made a rental house that to provide for themselves in retirement. And you look at now you have the threat of rent caps. They call it price stability. It's not. It's government controlled. It's government control saying how much you can raise rent by, but yet your increases on taxes and insurance are unchecked. effect. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I hear from people on a regular basis saying, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm selling this house. And guess what? When they sell that, it's usually going to a first-time home buyer or a young family, and you're displacing yet one more renter, and you're decreasing that rental pool. And so, yeah, the ripple effect on this is huge.
Well, and not to mention, instead of addressing the 40-year-old Growth Management Act that's way out of date and needs to be revamped, you're going to let people put travel trailers in their driveway and rent them out.
Right. Yeah. You bring up the Growth Management Act. I mean, there's an interesting statistic. When that was passed in the early 90s, our state population was 4 million, and today it's 8 million. And we have never gone back and really readdressed, is the GMA working? And in most areas, I'd say it's not.
You know, Senator, I got to hear you talk a couple of weekends ago. And like other Republicans, you expressed cautious optimism based on Governor Ferguson's inauguration speech. Well, I guess we're going to see the first test of what he wants to do when emergency powers reform gets a hearing tomorrow. And he's apparently signaled that he's open to looking at it. This is my understanding is there are some Democrats that are on this as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not on the committee for that. I worked on it a lot when I was in the House and, got shot down by the Democrat majority routinely on this issue. But the governor in his inaugural address, he, you know, especially on economic issues, he signaled a new era in how we're going to govern in the state. And I welcome that. The previous administration never saw a spending bill that they didn't like. I mean, everything went into effect under Inslee. And Ferguson's, he's signaling a different tone with that and has laid out priorities. And one of those is reforms on emergency powers. And so I will remain optimistic until and unless he proves differently. So I'm hopeful that he has exerted enough pressure and public influence that we need to reform our emergency powers in this state, and that goes through and gets to his desk with something that that we all can agree on. And, you know, the frustration for me, again, goes back to when I was in the House and working on this, and I had Democrats that say to me, yeah, I agree with you, but I can't support it. I mean, I'll get slaughtered in my caucus. And, you know, and I think back to that, and I think, you know, a lot of those people are still around. So I think a lot of people do agree with the reform on the emergency powers, and they didn't have the political cover or the backbone to take the public stand on it. And hopefully now with this administration, they will.
You know, Senator McEwen, one of the other interesting bills, of course, is the dismantling of the Parents' Rights Initiative that was passed in the last session. And, whenever Washington State makes national news, it's usually not good.
Yeah.
We usually wind up with a black eye, and Senator Peterson, the Senate Majority Leader, certainly made that a really nice shiner with a couple of sound bites that came out of an interview we did with Fox News, which shocked me in the first place that he did an interview with Fox News. But now he's trying to say they took him out of context after he said parents don't have a right to know about their kids' mental health. Parents don't have a right to know and be involved if their 13-year-old gets pregnant. What kind of, do they really believe this, or is this just pushing forward talking points and desires from the donating base? Because if you really believe that a 13-year-old has the ability to make these decisions without their parent being involved, but yet they can't drive a car, can't drink a beer, can't buy cigarettes or anything else, and according to the governor, can't buy a gun between 18 and 21 because they're not developmentally mature enough.
Right.
How do we get to this point?
Well, to quote the great Doc Holliday, hypocrisy knows no bounds. and you're absolutely right. I mean, you rattled it all off there. It's on one hand, they want to have they want to extend voting rights to 16-year-olds for local elections, and then on the other hand, say no, you can't smoke or drink till you're 21 because your brain doesn't fully develop till you're 25. You can make life-changing decisions on your body without parental consent as a minor. The beginning of your question was, do they really believe this or are they playing to their base? And I'd say yes, to both of that. There are some, I believe, on the other side. I look back, you know, and it's been the proverbial slippery slope for a number of years, a bill here and a bill there. I think that the Democrat majority in this legislature firmly believes that it is the right of the state of Washington to co-parent with parents, and I reject that. Look, are there some people that are bad parents? Absolutely, and we have a process to address that. But it is not the inherent right of the state to have the veto power on parental rights. And that is what this legislature, what this Democrat majority is doing with the actions it's taken. And it is, frankly, it has hoodwinked the people when it comes to having passed the Parental Rights Initiative out of the legislature last year and into law. And you know what? They played a chess game that they won at. They knew that if that went to the ballot, it was going to be extremely popular and might have other down ballot implications. But they also knew that by passing it that way, they could then turn around and strip it a year later, which is what they've done. Whereas if it had gone to the people, they would have needed a 2/3 vote to change it. And you know what? Just as, you know, for those that are on the conservative side, whether you identify as a Republican or not, we've got to wake up and start looking at how these things are happening. And we've got to be more proactive and recognize that an initiative isn't always going to magically solve the problem. And it's going to take other efforts to really right the ship.
We're talking with Senator Drew McEwen from the 35th District here on The Bottom Line. Senator, we only have a minute or two left, but of the things that you know that are on the horizon, what do you want to put on our listeners' radar?
I would really watch the budget and what they how they do this. I mean, the governor signaled that taxes should not be the first solution. He didn't totally rule them off, but I think this legislature, especially the Senate Democrats, are hell-bent on passing taxes. And so I'd really watch for what this budget process looks like. You'll see more of that next month when both the Senate and the House roll out their versions of the budget. And you'll really see then what their intentions are. And I would say, you know, that's going to be telling on, you know, did they heed their own governor on his desires, or are they just saying the hell with it, we're going to do it like we've done it for the last 12 years.
Senator Drew McEwen, thank you for your time this afternoon, sir. It was great to talk to you and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Hey, likewise. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Have a great weekend.